do. Everything. Everything about what we do centers around all the other critical components of a healthy church. All of them have to serve to increase the hunger of our people for the Lord. Say amen if you believe that. What good does it do to have a room full of people if there's no meaningful discipleship, if people aren't pressing in, people aren't being saved, people aren't being baptized in the Holy Spirit, people aren't growing in their hunger and their intentionality? We want fully committed, spirit-filled people hungry for God. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. Listen, we want them to deepen in their prayer life, their desire for a greater manifestation of the Spirit, lives transformed by the power of God. An insatiable desire, I love that word, an insatiable desire to see the lost come to salvation through Christ Jesus. How do we do that? Well, first of all, greater attendance can never be the primary measurement by which the health of our church is measured. Say amen. Come on, we want churches to grow, but they have to grow spiritually before they grow numerically. Right. Amen? So we want to give you some best practices. First of all, this very first one, I want to touch on it. Increase Bible reading. Now listen, I know that is somewhat cliche. Oh, everybody knows you're supposed to read your Bible. But listen, what is it, Sam? You're saying something. Oh, I need to slow down. Increase Bible. It's Eric. Eric, that's my fault. No, it's my fault. All right, we'll slow down. Thank you. Go back to the blanks, Pastor Eric, and I'll talk, and then you can move forward slowly. We good? My wife's waving at me now. Did you catch up? We good? No. You see, I don't have the blanks. All of mine are filled in. No. I've got one over there, Matt. Let me try this again. Everything we do, all the other critical components, must serve to increase the hunger of our people for more of God. Good? All right, I think we can move to the next one, Pastor Eric. That hunger must manifest itself in devotion to God and His Word, deepening prayer life, desire for a greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit in individual lives, and subsequently in our service. Gotta let people experience the presence of the Lord. How do we do that? We good? We'll move on, Pastor Eric. All of that results in lives being transformed by the power of the Lord. Power of God, and an insatiable desire to see the lost come to salvation through Christ Jesus. Greater attendance can never be allowed to be our primary measure of church health or ministry success. We want our numbers to go up, but we want people to deepen their faith and their knowledge of who the Lord is. We want lives to be transformed. Because it's easy to get a crowd. We need to do something more. All right? We good?
The last two are transformed lives and what we value most on the bottom. Transformed lives and then what we value most. All right.
All right. How do we do that? Thank you. Oh, you're clapping. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, they're cruel.
Yes. That's all right. Sam Hart is leading this next one. No, thank you, guys. Please, come on. We're family. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. How do we do that? Let's give you some best practices. Number one, increase Bible reading. You cannot have people grow deeper in their faith unless they get deeper in God's Word. Say amen if you believe that. How do we do that? One of the things that I've used most effectively is pastor-led daily Bible reading. Pastor-led daily Bible reading. Pastor, if you're not encouraging your people to read the Scripture, if you're not reading it with them, if you're not giving them things to read, they won't. You cannot assume that people are studying the Scripture. Say amen. Amen. So what do you do? If you don't already have something like this, many of you, there's about 250 of you that join me every day. I have a group called Roy's Bible Reading Group. It's a Facebook group. Start your own Facebook group. I take the one-year Bible every day. I copy the readings for that day, and I post it. And they post questions, and we engage. And there are 250 people reading through the Bible every year with me. Well, they say they are. All right? Bible Engagement Project is another great resource developed by the Assemblies of God that you can use. You can just Google Bible Engagement Project. What it is a tool that will sync all of your messages, your worship, your children, your youth, your adults. All of them will be studying the same scriptures together. Great tool, Bible Engagement Project. All right? Pastor Phil, what's the second thing we need to do?
The second thing that we need to do is to engage people in prayer. Let me just real quickly tag on something Pastor Roy said with increasing Bible reading. Text your people a Bible trivia question of the day with a link to where they can find the answer to that Bible trivia question in the Bible. So if they want the answer, they can send it out. Or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, text people one of the verses that you preached on Sunday. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, text them a verse from what you're going to be preaching on the next week. But engaging your people in prayer. A couple of things that I think that you can do for that is if you're a smaller church, let's say you run 100 people. It's simple to get 4 sheets of paper, week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4, and on week 1, list the 25 people from week 1 and go to those people on Sunday morning and just say, hey, Todd, I'm going to be praying for you this week on Thursday. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Well, Todd's going to say, well, pray that I'm a better Christian. Okay, that's great. But then on Thursday, I'm going to send Todd, I'm going to send him a text or a little note, handwritten note that says, Todd, I prayed for you on Thursday that God would help you to be a better Christian. I prayed Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18 over you. Don't tell him what the verse said. Let him go look for it himself. But week 1, I do 25 people in my church. On Thursday, I send him a little note or a text. On week 2, I do another 25%. On week 3, I do another 25% of the church. And that way, everybody in the church knows that I'm praying for them at least once a week or once a month. And what does that, when I begin to ask them to pray, what's going to happen? They're going to reciprocate. So create a culture of prayer in your church. Send out a daily prayer need text. Here's what we'd like all of the people from our church to be praying about today. Pray today. As school started today, we want to pray for our today would have been a great one to have said, we want to pray for all of our veterans today, that God's hand would be upon their life, that they would recognize. And so just, you know, a simple little thing like that to send out a, you say, well, my people are going to get tired of hearing from me. You're telling them to pray. So, and then prayer walks around strategic neighborhoods or using prayer models. Use Dick Eastman's An Hour That Changes the World. We used to, before every board meeting, we had a one-hour prayer meeting. And we would divide that 1 hour with Dick Eastman's The Hour That Changes the World, 5 minutes of reading the scripture, 5 minutes of praise, 5 minutes of intercession, 5 minutes of praying for my family, those kinds of thing. So I think you can do those kinds of things to begin to create a culture of prayer in your church. And a culture of prayer will increase the spiritual heat, yes, the spiritual life in your church. I love what Pastor Roy said. What does it do to have a huge crowd if the whole thing is spiritually dead? Our focus, again, on the, we are people of the Word and people of the Spirit. So encourage your people, two things every day during the week. Encourage them to read the Word and encourage them to pray. Simple little things to push them toward the Word of God and to push them toward prayer.
I just would like to add with the strategic prayer in neighborhoods, one of the things that I have done is I've had a group go out first praising, the second group praying and interceding, and the people in the end speaking life and the promises of God over the neighborhood. And then we've also identified a couple of people who, if people started coming out, that their job would be to go ask people, how can we pray for you? So if you're strategically praying, that's just one way to do it. And another thing with prayer models and prayer meetings, one of the best things to do is to pray scripture.
Amen. Very good. Our next critical element, Pastor Phil.
And I asked Pastor Roy to let me have this one because, listen, if there's anything that our church, that the Pentecostal church needs to do, is we need to make the gifts of the Spirit just as normal as the fruit of the Spirit in the believer's life. Our churches need to know how to move in the gifts of the Spirit. So I want to give you, just real quick here, a couple of things that we have in our thing. Number one is to schedule times of extended worship and the operation of the gifts. Tell your people, hey, Sunday night we're going to have a special worship service and we're going to ask the Lord to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And then maybe extend an optional prayer after the last Sunday morning service with your music and your workers. Now, if there's a reason many people have moved away and hesitated to make the gifts of the Spirit a normality, a normal action of the Sunday morning service, is because people have gotten crazy in the moving of the gifts of the Spirit. Anybody ever known a crazy moment in the moving of the gifts of the Spirit?
No.
Yeah. So how do you fix that? Here's how you fix that. Here's how your church can have the gifts of the Spirit in a normal fashion. Number one, teach it. Teach. This is what the gifts of the Spirit look like. The gifts of the Spirit do not make you scream like a banshee. That is not the normal moving of the gifts of the Spirit. There is an anointing and an empowerment in the moving of the gifts of the Spirit. So teach it. Teach it, teach it, teach it. So here's what one of the things we used to do. I would teach it on Wednesday night. If you have a midweek service, who comes at your midweek service? People who love Jesus. Maybe people who come on Sunday morning love the pastor, but people are coming midweek, they love Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
They don't need the teaching. Yes, they do. Teach the gifts of the Spirit. And then, and tell them. Now, I just want you to pray with me because next month's sermon series is going to be on the gifts of the Spirit. So I just want you guys to be, I want you to be my backup team. Then number two is this. When you teach it, tell people. Don't worry about making a mistake. Because if you make a mistake, I will come to you privately and help you correct it. Teach it, correct it. Are people going to be perfect when they move in the gifts of the Spirit? There's this little thing called flesh, and baby, I've got a lot of it. I got a lot of it on the outside, and I got a lot of it on the inside. So tell people, I'm going to correct it. Don't worry, if you get off, I'm going to come to you privately. What does the Bible say if you have something against a brother? Go to them privately and correct them. If they continue to do it, what do? You take two or three elders of the church with you. And you rebuke them privately. And you say to them, now, sister, we've asked you to not give a message in tongues every week. We've asked you to allow others to move in the gifts of the Spirit. We've asked you, and now the elders and I are here together. We've taught you, we've corrected you, but now the elders and I are here to rebuke you and ask you to not do that again. And we're here to tell you that if you do that again, I'm going to stand up in the morning service and I'm going to rebuke you before the whole church. That's the biblical model. You say, Pastor Phil, Pastor Roy, have you ever had to rebuke anybody?
Yes, sir, I have.
And what did the people who love Jesus, how did they feel about that?
They appreciated it.
Yes!
Yeah.
Way to
Pastor.
We got a real pastor.
I've had people give me, and I've only had to rebuke publicly in 40 years of ministry, like three times. And one of those times, I had a whole group of little old ladies who were sitting down in front do this. They were waiting for somebody to do the biblical method. So don't be afraid of the moving of the gifts of the Spirit. If you teach it, you're willing to correct it.
Yep.
And if need be, you're willing to rebuke it.
Christy, you got a testimony?
And I just want to share a testimony. I didn't grow up AG. I didn't get in the AG until I was 31. So I came from a Lutheran background.
5 years you've been with us.
Yeah, thank you. And actually, Pastor Phil was my pastor. And one of the things, when God started moving in my life in the gifts of the Spirit, I was very insecure. I was a little concerned about it. But one of the things that he did is, during a service, if I felt like I had a prophetic word, he started with saying, "Christy, come up and tell me what you feel like the Lord is saying." And so I would share it with him. And then he'd hand me the microphone. And then we did that 3 or 4 times. And then he finally said, "Just stay where you are and just speak it out." But what that did for me was, one, it encouraged me in the gift. And the second thing it did, it encouraged my confidence that I really was hearing from the Lord, because Pastor would say, "Yes, I believe that that's what the Lord is saying." And so you're encouraging people, because there's going to be a lot of people in your church that didn't grow up AG. And they're going to need training. They're going to need encouragement that they are hearing from the Lord.
And when you teach it, correct it, and rebuke it, your people will begin to think, okay, this is good. We want the gifts of the Spirit, because we're going to move under that authority of the Word of God.
One other thing in the area of normalizing, and I know this may be a challenge to some, and those of us that have been in this a long time, how many of you know we are creatures of habit? Amen? And how many of you know that when the Lord begins to speak, he always prefaces it with the phrase, "Thus saith the Lord." Right? How many of you know that's us? Maybe I'm offending you a little bit, but that's us. It's all right to normalize the gifts of the Spirit and just talk. Amen? Just talk.
Offer your people, "Hey, if you're unfamiliar with this, come see me after service. I'll be glad to walk you through the Word of God with this." And another thing, Pastor Roy, I used to pray before service, "Lord, if you're going to move with one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit today, please let me know."
Let me know, yeah.
So I can be sensitive and ready for that moving of the gifts of the Spirit. And many times I would sense, I think the Spirit of God's beginning, getting ready to move in one of the gifts. Mm-hmm. And I just begin to pray and say, "Okay, Lord, help me to lead this in the right way."
Right. Let me finish on the normalizing, just the way it happens. Because when you make it something that is, I don't know, you can put it out of people's reach, where they say, "I could never be like that." We want to normalize it so everyone feels God could use me to do that. All right, our next one is schedule worship nights. Let's move through these quickly, because Pastor Phil, you touched on that. Schedule a time where it is not primarily about the proclamation of the word. It is primarily about lifting up the name of the Lord and allowing worship to really swell and build in the hearts of people. We used to do this on Sunday nights, you remember? We would have long extended worship times, and the altar time would linger. We are very time-conscious society today, so you have to schedule that, folks. We used to do pursue services. I know Frankie's in here somewhere, where we would do, every quarter, we would do a service, and it was all about an extended worship time. I'd share like a 5-minute sermon, and then we go right back into worship. People that wanted to be prayed for, people that wanted to be touched by the Lord, people that wanted to be received, the people that wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We would have prophetic words. We'd have people being prayed over. Sometimes people would be slain in the Spirit. It was an environment where all of that was fair game, and we'll stay as long as you want to stay. In today's culture, you have to schedule that unfettered, unscheduled time. Don't be afraid to do that. And then finally, train up your teams. Train your altar and your prayer teams. Spend some time with them. Put them in groups so there's accountability. Some real practical things. Always have a male and a female together in a prayer team. Have more than two. Have people that will always keep confidence. Have spiritually mature people. Instruct your people on, all right, where to lay their hands. Some people are very wary of someone putting their hand on their head. Teach them how to anoint people with oil. Teach them how to pray quietly. Because sometimes people don't want their prayer requests, you know, declared for the whole church to hear. Oh, Lord, pull Pastor Phil out of, you know, whatever, all right? Train.
We had a lady one time who requested prayer for her husband, who was getting back into alcoholism and falling far from God. And what she didn't know is he had come in after the service had started and was sitting right behind her. That was a memorable service.
Yes. So guys, those are some best practices on, yep.
One other thing on the training your prayer team, make sure you have a booklet with scriptures that they can go home and study, that they can get down on the inside of them.
Yeah.
So that when they are praying with people, they have the faith. And they know that it's not any words or a system that how God answers prayers, but they know the power of God and they can pray the power of God over people because they have scriptures that they've been studying and just getting down in the depth of them.
Amen. So guys, we're going to move to a time of Q&A. Man, I saw a question right there. So Christy, would you do something? Can we get one more? Pastor Joel, would you help us? We'll have two microphones. That way we could perhaps move a little quicker. And right there to your right. And Christy, I'll share my mic with you. Pastor Dan, go ahead.
All right. Whoa. Sorry. Yeah, I'm loud on these things. Christy, you just said have a booklet. Do you have a booklet you'd be willing to share with us?
For $19.99, yes.
Dan, did she give you $5 for that?
Yes, we actually do. It's a manual on praying for physical healing and inner healing.
What's it called?
Well, it's just in my personal thing.
Have Christy for a service. Have our evangelist, Christy Limley, for a service.
Come to me afterward or email me, and I will get you that copy. It's Christy, K-R-I-S-T-I-A. L-E-M-L-E-Y at yahoo.com. Or you can go Christy at ChristyLemley.com.
Other questions? How to raise the spiritual temperature in your church? Right back.
So you had talked about, you know, pastor leaving or doing Bible readings, texting them out, and different things. If you only have one pastor, how does that get done with everything else that he has to do?
You do it. You do that as a part of your weekend preparation. Mm-hmm. You know, that way, I've got my three scriptures for this week. I've got the three scriptures for next weekend. I'm as a part of preparing for my weekend services, just as I prepare a sermon introduction and a sermon conclusion, I also take an hour and prepare what I'm going to text out to my people all the next week. It does take, or then begin to train a couple of people in your church to put that stuff together for mm-hmm. you.
Let me give away something that I sort of promised that I never would, but because I love you. Many of you are on the Bible reading group that I talked about. You can schedule Facebook posts. For instance, I can go on. In fact, I have already scheduled all the Bible reading posts. I know I'm going to be out of town all next week. It'll be very difficult for me to be in places. So I've already scheduled a whole week's worth of Facebook posts with those Bible reading verses in there. It takes 30 minutes to schedule 2 weeks worth.
And to begin, and one of the things we want you to learn to hear over and over and over again is the pastor shouldn't do it all by themselves.
Yep.
Build a team of people to do it.
And Pastor Phil, that's a great point. There are people longing, Pastor, for you to ask them. Now, we'll talk about this perhaps when we get to volunteerism, if we get that in. But you can't do a mass appeal. Hey, I'm looking for someone. Don't do that. Go to someone. Nikki Houseman, would you help me? I'm going to be gone a week. Would you post or would you be the all-time Bible verse posting? Would you do a weekly devotion and post it? Yes. They will be honored that you ask them. But you have to go ask them.
Pastor Keith.
Yeah, thank you so much. I've enjoyed the topic of normalizing the Holy Spirit. I do agree that a lot of times our prophetic words come off sounding like Shakespeare, and it can be a disconnect there. And so thank you for bringing that out. The question that I do have, though, I thought I heard you say, and just want to repeat back, that there should be times of extended times of worship and altar times. Our leaders that are working the altar, that we're training, those that we called out to train, should there be separate times for them to come to the altar to be refreshed, or is that a part of those moments that we schedule? Because a lot of times more leaders that are working the altar can be standing up to get prayer when they should be working the altar.
Brother Keith, we had multiple services, and there's a great phrase. We didn't use it, but it is a great phrase, and that is serve one. Y'all know the rest of that? Attend one. So anyone that is in a position of service needs to come to a service where they're not doing anything. They're there just to be refreshed and fed.
And understand something else tonight for the people in this room. If you're a leader in the church, you have to guard your own spiritual life. So there needs to be times. We would have an hour of prayer before our deacon meeting. Mm-hmm. And there were times, and I had to say to a couple of our deacons, friend, the deacon meeting starts at 7 with an hour of prayer.
Yeah.
Don't show up at 10 till 8. And expect to be able to go into the deacon meeting if you weren't here at 7. If there's an emergency, yes, that's understood. But the spiritual life of your prayer team, they have to have maybe a time where they're being poured into, where you as our leaders are being poured into. We need you not just for your wisdom or your work as a leader in the church. We need you to be a man and woman of God who is a warrior for the kingdom of God to build and guard your own spiritual life.
Something we would also do, for those of you that don't have two services, Brother Keith, we would always, in my office before service, a fairly good amount of time before service, there was a team that would join around me and all of those who are ministering in the service. And that team, some of them were altar workers, and they would lay hands on an anoint. And it was a fairly good prayer time where they would minister to us who were then going to minister. So I know that's a lot of intentionality, but ministering to those who are going to minister.
Let's tie that right back into the worship team.
Never a bad deal.
The worship best practices when Pastor Chris and Pastor Abby and Pastor Joel were saying, have times of appreciation where you invite your worship team over your house. That's great. Eat pizza together. But before you leave, spend some time ministering to them, anointing them, praying over them.
I think one other thing to add to that is also not just having prayer for the altar team that day, but the altar team having separate meetings, praying for one another, one that can increase their comfort with praying with other people. But I also like if you have scheduled worship nights, you're teaching people how to linger in the presence of the Lord, which is paramount in ministry. And so you're teaching them so that they can do it not just on Sunday morning, but on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday when they're in their own prayer time of sitting before the Lord, learning what his presence feels like, and just teaching them that discipline.
The spiritual life is key to every other category.
Amen.